the biggest reason is I needed to spend more time with my family. I was working pretty crazy hours and just investing so much of myself into the job that it was taking a toll on the family, and I needed a break. I had never done anything besides prosecution and civil work on behalf of the county as well, but I'd never done anything but government service like that, and needed to try something different. I think there was also that layer of the culture shift, a gradual culture shift in the office. And for lack of a better term, this line in the sand culture almost, this win at all costs. It got to the point where it seemed like it was more important to be right than it was to do the right thing or to solve a problem. And I tried in many different ways to effect positive change while I was there. And I'm really proud of the work that I've done and that I did and the changes that we made. But I got to a point within the confines of the current administration that kind of had reached a point where there was a conflict with my internal values and what was going on in the office. And
can you be more specific? Because that sounds a little vague. Can you give an example, for example, of where you thought that the office was wanting to be right more than to do the right thing?
Well, I think we've seen a lot of examples of that recently. The situation with the Millers at the Dunroven Ranch, where the county has basically drawn a line in the sand, taken a position, and then has opted to throw as many resources as necessary to prove that the county's right. And they're continually having that checked by the judge. The judge is unhappy. The community is unhappy. Millers are obviously unhappy, and it's taken quite a dramatic toll on them in multiple ways besides just their business. The county's been ordered to pay attorney's fees because its approach in some of these areas has been so egregious. Another example is the stance regarding the Department of Justice and the refusal to even talk to them about what their concerns are.
Let's talk about the DOJ investigation, because that certainly has been the biggest headline out of the county attorney's office for the last 18 months or more. That investigation said that the office was really failing its sexual assault victims, and that failure was happening during the time you were the lead prosecutor.
I think it's important to note that the Department of Justice report, if you look at the print, interviewed a variety of people, including law enforcement, victims of crime, and one prosecutor. That one prosecutor was me. I approached them with a cooperative attitude from the very beginning because I really truly am about trying to solve problems and make the community a safer place. So I know that I have sort of been associated and lumped in with vaguely with those problems painted with a very broad brush. But if you look a little deeper, I was with the department and still am with the department in trying to identify some problems. But I think even more important than identifying problems is identifying solutions. They have proposed several.
Yeah, before we talk about that, we'll get to that. I want to talk a little bit more about the problems they identified, because they had some really damning things to say about how some attorneys in the county attorney's office had dealt with victims. You've disputed those stories. You don't think they're true, right? For example, that someone said to someone, boys will be boys.
I think that there are problems in the way sexual assault cases were handled. However, yeah, you're right. I can't imagine that any of those professional people would have said something like that. And I can tell you that it would not have been tolerated by anybody in the administration. Those kinds of comments, absolutely
mm-hmm. So unacceptable. So what problems were there then, if not those? What were the problems?
A big one was a lack of responsiveness to victims, a lack of communication, lack of coordination with the Crime Victim Advocate's Office, lack of coordination with our partner law enforcement agencies.
So the obvious question would be to ask you, who were in the office then, why didn't you do something about that?
I did what I could at the time within the confines of the current administration. I'm going to get back to that discussion we were having about the Department of Justice and the solutions, because at the time I had made recommendations that I made to them later and they are making now to try to address some of those problems. Those recommendations include hiring a victim witness coordinator, an internal one, to work with our external crime victim advocates office. Another one of those recommendations was to hire an in-house investigator to build better cases and to help screen cases more efficiently and effectively.
The current county attorney says, and the county commissioners, I think, would agree, they don't have the money to do that.
We're at the point where this is a problem. We need to find the money. It is a priority. And if it's not a priority, then we need to look at what our priorities are and how we can change them.
You have just said that you would like to have and have been cooperating with DOJ about all this. Mr. Van Valkenburg's contention is that they are sticking their nose in where they shouldn't, that local prosecutors have to have the ability to have local control and not have the federal government come in and say, you will do this or you will do that. Do you think he has a point?
I think he has a point. And a federal judge is going to decide that question fairly soon. And so I'm going to rely on what the federal judge says. But what we need to do, I think, is back up a couple three years and look at how did we get here? How did we get to this point? And with changing our approach years back and shift pivoting a little bit from this win at all costs to spirit of cooperation, how can we solve problems? I truly think that we could have avoided getting to this point where we had to draw another line in the sand.
But you, just back to the point, you do think that line should have been drawn?
I don't.
You don't?
I don't think we should have gotten to this point where it should have been drawn. I don't think it's necessary, and those litigation dollars could very well be spent in other places.
The other high-profile thing in your race is, of course, your defense of Jordan Johnson in that trial. You got a lot of blowback for that, I bet.
A little bit. I think for the most part, though, the community really supports what we did for Jordan. I was surprised by the emotional response by some people in the community about my decision to represent him. But nobody's going to dispute that everybody's entitled to a trial before a jury of their peers and a good defense. And that's what we did for Jordan. And we believed 100% that he was innocent at the beginning. And the jury confirmed that very swiftly after the trial. So for the most part, people recognize from a broader sense that the experience as a prosecutor combined with the experience as a defense attorney like that actually gives me some more perspective and a little bit even a greater ability to kind of troubleshoot and solve some of those problems.
How would you describe your relationship with your former colleagues in the county attorney's office?
It's good with some of them. Others, it's strained, particularly the folks that were involved in Jordan's case. I think part of that is, again, this culture that they've been living in, this culture of overreacting. I've seen another emotion, we've seen some more emotional outbursts. And it's not just overreacting emotionally, but legally through litigation and financially through resources. So I just think this is one of the many examples that kind of support my whole position that we need to change our approach.
What changes would you like to see in the office besides the one you've mentioned about hiring a victim witness advocate and an in-house investigator?
I would like to look at a formal diversion program for low-risk offenders. The statutes legislature has provided a diversion, which essentially means low-risk of first-time offenders that we don't think are going to go out and reoffend. We have their attention. We're going to divert them away from the court process and on more of a treatment or rehabilitation route. We do very little of that. The current administration is opposed to doing, and they call them deferred prosecution agreements. I agree that it's not appropriate in every case, but there are certainly cases that the county is currently litigating that we could save money in that regard. There's also a relatively new part of the criminal code that provides for criminal mediation. And we've seen such great things happen with alternative dispute resolution in the civil field that I'm kind of excited to try that in the criminal realm. Some cases where it's just a sitting down with a mediator might make all the difference. And I don't think people realize how expensive trials are to the taxpayers. But they're very, very expensive. And to the extent that we can avoid that and still keep the community safe and still make restitution to victims, I think we should explore that.
What is the answer, do you think, in Missoula to reducing the incidence of sexual assault?
Education. Integrating some of these ideas that we're researching and learning about into the community. And we've made great strides in that regard. The university has done wonderful things in the last year, as has the Missoula Police Department implementing their special victims unit. And that's another thing that I think the county attorney's office could mimic in regard to designating specialists and then getting them training that they need. So if we have folks who are really trained up on how to handle these cases instead of now, you know, there's a real variety in embezzlement, drugs, you know, we specialize a little bit, but if we could really earmark people and then get them trained up and get them continual state-of-the-art relevant training. But the biggest piece, I think, is just that gradual culture shift and education.
Well, I have been speaking with Kirsten Papps, who's a Missoula attorney who wants to become Missoula's new county attorney. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sally. Appreciate it.